1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Former President Trump's legal team and special counsel Jack Smith responding tonight in that election conspiracy case. ABC's Pierre Thomas.
In a court filing, Trump's attorneys say he shouldn't be subject to a blanket gag order, seeking to narrow the scope of sensitive materials. Smith arguing if Trump was to share grand jury testimony, for example, it could have a harmful, chilling effect on witnesses or adversely affect the fair administration of justice.
Just in from Judge Chutkan, ordering both sides to give her two proposed dates by tomorrow afternoon for a hearing on all this to take place by week's end. More than a million power outages across the U.S. now, many in the mid-Atlantic and southeast due to bad storms. Federal officials investigating last night's mid-air crash near a Southern California wildfire of two firefighting helicopters. Three people died. Ukrainian authorities confirm they have detained a woman they believe was helping the Russians in a plot to assassinate President Zelensky. This is ABC News. Ohio voters set to decide whether to raise the voting requirements to make it tougher to amend that state's constitution. If the change passes, it is expected to impact that state's abortion laws.
It's a crucial vote in the Buckeye state of Ohio. Republicans want voters to agree that changing its state constitution should require 60% support instead of a simple majority. If the measure passes, it will make it much harder for Democrats to amend the state's constitution this fall to guarantee a right to abortion. The effort is part of a broader initiative by Republicans to keep liberal, citizen-led proposals off state ballots. Ann Flaherty, ABC News, Washington.
American director William Friedkin has died. He was best known for The Exorcist and The French Connection, some of the most influential films of the last 50 years. That crime drama, The French Connection, set the standard for a car chase scene. Exorcist became a horror classic. Friedkin died at his Los Angeles home Monday, according to his representatives. Andy Field, ABC News.
Get ready, country fans, because Tyler Farr is coming to heat up the summer on August 11th at Ho-Chunk Gaming in Coosa.
Whiskey in the Water.
With hit singles such as Redneck Crazy, Whiskey in My Water, and his brand new single, Rednecks Like Me. Tickets will be on sale June 30th by calling Ho-Chunk Gaming in Coosa or by visiting the Rewards Club booth. Then, because fun has no age limit, we'll be opening our concert up to everyone. Enjoy a perfect summer night with food trucks and music, and mark your calendars for fun this summer with Tyler Farr at Ho-Chunk Gaming in Coosa. Get ready, country fans, because Tyler Farr is coming to heat up the summer on August 11th at Ho-Chunk Gaming in Coosa.
Whiskey in the Water.
With hit singles such as Redneck Crazy, Whiskey in My Water, and his brand new single, Rednecks Like Me. Tickets will be on sale June 30th by calling Ho-Chunk Gaming in Coosa or by visiting the Rewards Club booth. Then, because fun has no age limit, we'll be opening our concert up to everyone. Enjoy a perfect summer night with food trucks and music, and mark your calendars for fun this summer with Tyler Farr at Ho-Chunk Gaming in Coosa.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Alice. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Most of us are not just red or blue. We're kind of purple. We want to do what's right while protecting our individual freedoms.
Join the Rational Revolution with hosts Chris Elfheim and Emily Cephos, Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
Visit their website at scotchamamas.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cuff, Henny Cuff, baby.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues, Haley, are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we got Wendy in the house here. Hey, how's it going, Wendy? Whoop, whoop. Oh, just
I'm in the house, but my microphone's not on.
Yeah. Hey, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be back.
Yes, so a lot of things happening, warm weather and all the coast fires, but you got our sacred animal section. And are you doing a fun facts or what are you going to do tonight?
I'm going to be talking about a specific bird that hasn't been seen in Wisconsin since 1845, and it's back.
Oh, a bird.
Yeah.
That isn't like a football team or something they haven't had, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, cool. And, well, we got Dr. Stately on in a little bit here, too, and we're going to be talking to Dr. Stately. A lot going on in Indian country, and it's great to have you on live again. I just got to bring up a quick thing for our friend Heather Keeler, Wendy. Mm-hmm. And Heather has this fundraiser that she's going to be doing tomorrow, Tuesday, August 8th, from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m., the Black Heart of St. Paul on 1415 University Avenue, and that's really close to us in St. Paul, and she's going to be doing a fundraiser, so we are really excited and want to support her and let everyone know.
Yeah, and the fundraiser is for Heather Keeler, Minnesota House District 4A.
Right, and it's great because progressive values, and that's hit her up and put some money in the coffers so she can run again, because darn, you know, Wendy, it's really hard always to just always constantly be campaigning with just a two-year length of your term.
Yeah, that must be just unbelievable, because once you get going and work and do your thing, you got to run again and campaign again. And campaigning takes a lot of energy and time, and you want to work and do stuff and get stuff done, but you're busy campaigning. So,
right.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard, too, because that takes away, these guys aren't full-time, even though it seems like they're full-time, but they're not full-time, and that means they don't have a full-time wage.
Right.
And they really don't make that much money, so, and they're serving us. So It's a thing that you have to do out of love for your community.
Absolutely. It is a labor of love, definitely, without a doubt.
Right on. Mm-hmm. And then we got Dr. Stately coming on, and I wonder what we should ask him, Wendy. What are you thinking?
I have no idea.
I know that I've seen in the newspaper, in the news, that there is an uptake again of COVID.
Yeah, I did see that as well. It's a new variant. And it is out there. We're lucky, though. It's not causing, you know, deaths like it used to. And people have a lot of natural immunity. And a lot of people have gotten their vaccinations and their boosters. So we need to get those. Just a reminder of people, if you're eligible, get that booster. It's not too late.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I guess they're having another booster when, and we can talk to Dr. Stately about what he knows about that.
Yeah.
But that's coming up, I think, in the fall, I heard.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I haven't been keeping up. I'm I'm retired now, so I'm like...
should we watch the news tonight or not?
No. Should I read about the news? Nah. You know what? Sometimes ignorance is bliss, I have to say. A lot of times, watching the news, seeing what's happening, what's going on in politics, and, you know, the heat waves and the fires, and just hearing all of that, I'm telling you, it brings me down. It really does. So sometimes I just take a week off. And I just do not watch any news. I don't read anything. I just, if I see anything on my social media, I just scroll right by it. And I just don't want to know. I just want to be ignorant.
Well, and, you know, it's taxing. And that's why in Native Roots Radio, it's fun where you do fun facts on Friday, you know, on Fridays for animals. And a lot of times are really funny and also really educational.
Yeah.
And you have to get away from it. You know, we have musicians on here. It isn't all political and pipelines. Mm-hmm. And we try to mix it up here.
I love when we have and you have guests that are like authors that write books, who are musicians, like you said, who are in the movies. I mean, you've had people on from Reservation Dogs. So I love when you have all that. And when you were at Twins Stadium, you and Haley were there and you talked to Dan Gladden. That was really exciting, too.
Do you remember?
So it's fun to mix it up.
We were coming back from the Hall of Fame and Dan Gladden, we were talking to Dan Gladden. We were on the same flight and we almost missed the flight because
we were out there chit-chatting. And I think that they just changed our gate like one gate over. It wasn't like, you know, a different area, but it was like one gate over. And we were just, like you said.
Somebody came up to us and said, are you on flight, blah, blah, blah? And we go, we look and there's no one sitting.
We were the last ones on the plane.
But he had a great story. And what a class act. You had a chance to hear the interview.
Yeah, remind our audience who Dan Gladden is.
Dan Gladden played for the Minnesota Twins and is the Minnesota announcer on the radio announcer for the past 20 years, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And he's a 1987-91 World Series champion. So, and Twins Hall of Famer. So that was really fun. And Haley will be scheduling us out there again real soon. Maybe we can get Dr. Stately to come out to a Twins game with us and hang out. Oh, there's Dr. Stately. How's it going?
Who's waving. How are you?
Did you notice he was waving, Wendy? He must be tired because this is a radio show, Dr. Stately. No one saw that wave. Hey, we're just getting ready. We're prepping here live with questions that Wendy and I and Haley are going to ask you. So, Wendy's ready. No, I'm just kidding. But we were just talking.
I heard your comment about the Twins show, and I will tell you that, like, you know, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool hockey fan, hockey dad. So, like, and I think I told you the story about how I went to a Twins game and I was so incredibly bored. Like, because you can, you know, because you can only really, like, you can only watch so much paint dry after before it gets really boring. And you can only eat so many hot dogs, too.
Dr. Saley, you remember that old Rodney Dangerfield line? He was like, hey, I was at a boxing match and a hockey game broke out. Oh, you don't remember that one?
Yes.
Yes. To be pretty old to remember that.
Or who Rodney Dangerfield is, right?
Exactly.
Barely. Probably half of the listening audience doesn't even know who that person is.
Exactly.
Oh, hey.
Hasn't he been gone for like 20 years now?
So hey. He lives on YouTube.
Robert needs movies. New material. Like, I tell him all the time.
Yeah.
It's a sad thing. I get no respect guy. Okay.
Dr. Stately today got a little whiff of my old material again. He didn't laugh, but other people did today.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's like,
that was fun.
That was a fun day, actually, yeah. So,
yeah. Hey.
You took me to lunch. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for spending time and doing what you did. We got a minute left here, but we're going to quiz you a little bit because we've heard there's a little uptake of COVID coming up, and maybe you can help us. And we also talked a little bit about the possibility of another vaccine this spring and see what you've heard. So hold on to that thought. Unlike that favorite radio station you listen to, we have to pay the bills. We have to have some commercials here. Yeah. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and it's old home week here. Wendy's here with Dr. Stately, and Dr. Stately and Haley and I will be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Oh.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, nah, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout. Tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Be a vaccinative. It's time to come together and talk about the urgent need to stay up to date on COVID-19 vaccinations to protect our heritage, our loved ones, and our future. Throughout history, we have always faced challenges, and today we must protect our culture and loved ones. This is our opportunity to ensure that our tribal gatherings once again resound with joy and celebration, where the echoes of our ancestors guide our steps. It's a chance to care for our elders, cherishing their wisdom and stories for generations to come. COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. Let us unite, resilient as ever, and show the world the strength of the Native American community. Together, we shape a future where our traditions thrive, our children learn from our ancestors, and our people flourish once more. So be a vaccinative and learn more about staying up to date with your COVID vaccinations at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by St. Paul Public Schools, now giving out signing bonuses. Check them out at spps.org.
Yes, I work for St. Paul Public Schools, and it's a great place to work. And, you know, up to $10,000, Wendy, they're giving out for signing bonuses. So rev up, and, you know, I'm seeing Halloween stuff out there, and school must be right around the corner.
Yeah, it comes quick.
That's right. And Dr. Stately should know because he has 2 young ones and school's coming up. Hey, Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, on the Franklin Corridor. And we're really excited always to have you aboard here and talk about, you know, just a conversation, what's happening medically, what's happening on the avenue. And also, you have a lot of knowledge, background knowledge of a lot of things Native over the past 60 years, so we really appreciate our conversations.
The past 60 years, I am only 60 years old. I didn't really have a whole lot of knowledge about health
until I heard
I was about 3 or 4.
Well, I heard you've read. You know, you're an avid reader.
Yeah, so I do. I am an avid reader. But my own lived experience of health in the early days really were like mud pies and stuff like that. So, and it turns out eating mud pies when you're 1 or 2 or 3 years old probably really actually does help your immune system a lot.
Well, it got you ready for
my sister,
my
sister who I force-fed mud pies to because I took such meticulous care making them. I insisted that she would eat them, and if she didn't participate, I would encourage her to do it.
Yeah.
She got a lot of
and she almost never got sick. So yeah, that's a correlation there.
Anyway. That's what Wendy said. A lot of B12 there in those mud pies.
Yep, a lot of B12. Yep, and a few probably all kinds of other things that she didn't really need, but she might have benefited from.
Or iron too.
Iron for sure. Like there was there might have been some arsenic in there too, because we lived in the project, so that's the other thing that might have been there. Yeah, some bad stuff. But you asked a question about COVID, before we went to break, and so I did a little boning up on the thing. Here's the thing is we talked about this a couple weeks ago. There's a general perception, across much of, for sure, I think the developed world, and certainly we consider the, Minnesota, Wisconsin, the United States part of the developed world. There's this sort of prevailing sort of perception, I think, for lots of people that the pandemic is over. People have actually even used that word, the pandemic is over, because things that have happened recently within the last month have been things like the declaration of emergency, public health emergency ended, which meant that all other things shifted and changed. Resources from the federal government and also from the state probably came to an end. People had all kinds of things changed because of that, the ending of that emergency declaration. So I think that there's a difference, I think, also between public health emergency and public health crisis. Those things aren't the same. And the impact that the pandemic had on healthcare writ large across the United States and across the world has been just significant and unyielding, right? So many people have left healthcare that it has left a lot of our health systems really challenged to meet the everyday challenge of sort of operating health systems, mine included, fully staffed with medical staff who can help with addressing chronic care, chronic diseases, things that we didn't pay attention to over the last several years. So there's still that crisis part that's related to that, which is sort of kind of the aftermath of living through a pandemic, of the size and magnitude of that particular pandemic. And it is probably not untrue that this has been the largest and most impactful pandemic that our modern world has ever seen, right? It far out surpasses the impact of the influenza pandemic of the early 1900s. Oh yeah. In terms of the scale of loss of life and damage to infrastructure, the loss of, and just the scale of the impact is unimaginable compared to some of those other things. So that's important to recognize. And then I think the other thing is just boots on the ground is to recognize a couple different things that, in the month of July, so just in this last month, which we just finished, there was about a 10.3% increase in weekly COVID hospitalizations, hospitalization admissions, so around 7,100 or so of them in the United States. And that suggests that we're still in the midst of a public health challenge, right? Mm-hmm. And I want people to think about that. That's like, you know, a 10.3% increase is not insignificant. You know, it's one way of thinking about that is it's probably comparing apples to oranges. Quite frankly, as a scientist, I would never sort of say that this is an accurate comparison, but, you know, like our inflation rate is lower than that. And so is, you know, the cost of living adjustment. So I think part of that is like recognizing that these are still significant numbers. And I don't think that anybody suspected or assumed that there would be no new infections and that there would be no new hospitalizations when the public health emergency rescinded. But what is important is to recognize that there, as long as new infections continue to happen, there will be, you know, strains and variants of this specific virus for a while. And I think that what we're seeing now, even with all of the vaccines that have been gotten across the developed world, is that there are still vulnerable people who have the elderly, people who have immunocompromised immune systems, and a few other things that are still quite vulnerable to getting COVID and the potential and the risk for mortality is great still. So just kind of like remembering to like, you know, engage in good practices when you're doing things like traveling out of the country, when you're in close proximity with large groups of people, when you are among people who might be in those specific categories, that doing things like wearing a face mask, especially if you're not feeling well, have a cough, you have a fever, those kinds of things. Staying home when you're sick, those are all really wise things to do. And that's a really important part of contributing to the greater good and also to the contributing to the lack of transmission of the virus. Remembering that every time it skips a host, it has an opportunity to transmute.
Wow.
And then I think part of the thing I think that's coming down the pike for like the fall is like there is the reality is that, you know, like we remember last year, like when people took off their face masks, we saw a significant uptick in flu and influenza and during that period of time. Because we were not in each other's space for a long time and we were not breathing each other's air and sharing germs because of face masks and social distancing and a few other things. And that has changed over the last several months, right? Mm-hmm. And so the likelihood that we will be doing things like seeing an uptick in influenza, A and B, is quite likely. And then we also had a big, huge challenge with RSV last fall, if you remember, in the early winter.
Wow.
People are now encouraging folks, pediatricians, family physicians, are encouraged people to get like what's called the triple vaccine, the trifecta vaccine, which is like get a, especially if you are in the area of some of those more vulnerable populations, elderly, immunocompromised, you might have some lung issues, those kinds of things, because all three of those things attack the ability, your lungs and your ability to actually breathe. And that would be get an influenza vaccine when it becomes available, and it should be coming out very soon. Get a updated COVID-19 booster. They actually, I'm not sure about this, but I think they've come out with a recent non-mRNA vaccine, but I'm not really boned up on that, so I won't talk too much about that. And then they just the FDA approved a RSV vaccine, so respiratory virus vaccine, which seemed to be really critical for young children and elderly people who are particularly vulnerable to RSV. Young people are vulnerable to RSV because they have very tiny lungs and very tiny air pathways, and RSV causes those pathways to inflame and become inflamed, which limits their ability to breathe. So encouraging people to do those things.
That's amazing. I'd really like Wendy to tell her story, because I'm still running into people that won't take the flu shot and don't know how important it is. And Wendy kind of not set it straight, but really explained it in a good way. Maybe you can do that in the beginning of next segment, because I really want to remind everyone about these vaccines, Wen.
Sure.
All right. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, Native American community, clinic.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show
on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Former President Trump's legal team and special counsel Jack Smith responding tonight in that election conspiracy case. ABC's Pierre Thomas.
In a court filing, Trump's attorneys say he shouldn't be subject to a blanket gag order seeking to narrow the scope of sensitive materials. Smith arguing if Trump was to share grand jury testimony, for example, it could have a harmful, chilling effect on witnesses or adversely affect the fair administration of justice.
Just in from Judge Chutkan, ordering both sides to give her two proposed dates by tomorrow afternoon for a hearing on all this to take place by week's end. More than a million power outages across the U.S. now, many in the mid-Atlantic and southeast due to bad storms. Federal officials investigating last night's mid-air crash near a Southern California wildfire of two firefighting helicopters. Three people died. Ukrainian authorities confirm they have detained a woman they believe was helping the Russians in a plot to assassinate President Zelensky. This is ABC News.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo!
Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media weather team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls...
Selections like baby back ribs and pulled pork sandwiches out of a little place. Scotch Your Mama's is located just a block west of I-35W off of West Diamond Lake Road in South Minneapolis. Visit their website at scotchamamas.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Yes, great work they've done for so many years and with us for so long, Wendy, one of our first sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, Wendy, so I mind if you could just tell a quick overview of what you told me, and it really made sense about getting a flu shot. I was like, oh, that makes total sense.
Yeah. Well, I hear every year people who say, I've never gotten the flu shot and I've never gotten sick. Well, you know what? That's great. And you're really, really lucky.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, when they develop the flu shot every year, they're kind of guessing about which flu bug is going to be around, right? They're different strains and variants of the flu. So they kind of guess at it and they make the flu shot with past history and what they really think is going to be hitting us this year. So sometimes when they do make the flu shot, it gives very little protection, sometimes only 30% protection against the flu, and people kind of poo-hoo that. But here's the thing. If you get the flu shot every year, it may not help you this particular year, but it might help you next year and the year after and the year after. And the more years you get this flu shot, the more you are building up immunity to future variants and flu bugs. Yeah. And the other thing I want to mention is too, like Dr. Stately said earlier, with the COVID and with the flu, the elderly and the very young are very susceptible to the flu. So if you have family members or little ones who are vulnerable, you want to get the flu, not for yourself. Mm-hmm. You'll get it for other people, for the greater good. So I recommend the flu shot every year, and I always get mine. And I, knock on wood, I have not been sick from the flu, but I don't do it just for myself. I do it because I'm around little children. I do it, I'm around elderly people. So that's why I get the flu shot.
Yeah, and that really convinced me, Dr. Stately. It was really logical, and I'm sure Wendy has told me that before. It hit home because, yeah, you know, I have selective hearing at times, right, Wendy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's very responsible of her. She lives with an elder. She should do a good job of taking care of her. but I was going to say, like, one thing I was going to say really quickly, too, is, like, I want to just really ensure our audience that's listening, because I'm a scientist as well. So I was like, we do a little more than just guess. We actually sort of like, we use information about.
Yes, using information from past. Yes, absolutely.
Past experience, kinda, but also what we're seeing happen in the other
when
hemisphere.
They do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So right. Kind of like, I mean, you're using like deduction, reasoning and deduction too, but they also look at things like what are happening on the other hemispheres. Right. So mm-hmm. Here's the thing is like, you know, I have a good friend of mine who just went to New Zealand, and it's, guess what? It's nice and balmy here in summertime in Minnesota in the United States, and or in the northern part of the hemisphere of the world. And down in the southern hemisphere, it is winter time there. It's cold as buckets, and she and her family got influenza A. She thought she was gonna. She was like, I thought I was gonna die. She went and got tested to make sure she didn't have COVID. But she was like so down for the count, and she said, if that's any prediction for like what the flu season is going to be like here in the United States this coming year, that is, people are not going to want this. She said she was like, they were all, her and her whole family, they were, you know, they had it coming out of both ends, and they were like in pain, and they were like just joint pain and high fevers and all kinds of stuff. So I think part of that is we look to like what's happening in other parts of the world that are currently having flu season, and we try to do our best to predict what's likely to happen, what strain is out there, and we pull on some of that information as well. So we do do a little bit better of a job than just guessing.
So Dr. Stately, what you're saying to our flat earthers, that there is winter on the other side of the earth is round, not flat.
Are there still people that are flat earthers out there?
Well, they listen to Joe Rogan, and that's a long story in another show.
Oh, Lordy. Yeah. Well, you know, if you are a flat earther, you know, it's eventually going to get here, whether the earth is round or not. So I don't think the viruses know the difference between, like, you know, circumnavigation and just a straight, you know, a straight line, quite frankly. I'm not sure.
Well, that's a good point.
I'm not an amoeba.
Well, those are really good points. And what I always want to talk to you about, too, because of our connection, but also our past history, is that while COVID and things were going on, drug addiction and fentanyl were doing push-ups in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, they were spotting each other, actually. So I think, yes. So we are like, you know, we've seen a significant, like, I think the last year over year, I think last year, 2022, we had some of the highest rates of overdoses that we've ever seen. Like something, just, and then in the state of Minnesota, I think it was right around 1,100, 1,200, something like that. And that's a record-breaking number of overdose deaths. Sadly, a couple of my own relatives passed away in those last couple of years during that time. Mm. I also lost a few relatives to things like chronic disease, like my cousin's, I think I talked about this before on the show, my cousin's liver cancer came back and she hadn't detected it. She hadn't been to see her regular, her oncologist or her regular primary care doctor for a few years during COVID, I think probably about 2.5 years. And she went into the hospital. She woke up one day and she couldn't feel her legs. She couldn't move her legs in the bottom part of her body. And she thought it was like something related to like joints or something. She went into the hospital and they found a mass, and she passed away within 7 days of going to the hospital. I think those are things that we want to pay attention to as well, is like making sure that we're doing things like catching up on chronic care issues that we might not have spent time paying attention to over the last couple of years. You know, like we have some of the lowest vaccination rates in the state of Minnesota for Native children, which was true before COVID, and then you know, in the years following COVID, it's gotten a little bit worse. And we're seeing vaccines for things like, you know, mumps, measles, rubella, the things that you need to be able to sort of like, you know, go to school and be in public spaces with other folks. And we've seen this in other areas too, like throughout the United States. Like there was an uptick in, there was a measles outbreak, I believe, in upstate New York, right? And you'll remember that during the pandemic, there was an outbreak in measles, and a number of young people died in the state of Minnesota here among East African communities because people were not vaccinated at all with measles. So things like those things are really important to just try to remember. It's like if you haven't been to the doctor in a few years because either it's been hard to get in or, you know, the impact of COVID, people a lot, like try your best to get your kids and yourself in to get like all of your chronic conditions looked at, make sure that you get a well child check and a physical if you're an adult, those kinds of things, and just catch up on all those medical things that you need to do so that you know you'll be around for a while, right? And if there's something afoot, you catch it early, because there's a lot of conditions that Native people die of more often and more quickly than a lot of the rest of the population, and that's because we don't find out about them until, you know, an example would be, you know, we have higher rates of mortality in like in cancers and in death and HIV and other kinds of fatal diseases that sort of kind of just, you know, are cooking underneath the surface for a while, and that's because we don't go in and do surveillance and get those things caught early. Like any condition, you're going to do a better job of managing it and controlling it, and possibly also overcoming it if you catch it early and you intervene early. But if you intervene too late, sometimes it's not changeable. The course is not changeable.
Yes, and in the last few minutes too here, we're touching on a lot of things that we have over the couple of years, 3 years that you've been on the show. And mental health is one of the things, a byproduct of everything you're talking about right now.
Yeah. The amount of isolation we went through, the amount of loss, just the scale of loss. I don't think I know a person in my personal life and or my professional life that did not lose at least one person during the pandemic, if not several, right? Mm-hmm. And the impact of that scale of that loss on ourselves as individuals and as a community is tremendous, right? Mm. So things like, you know, go in and talk to somebody. Also go to ceremony, talk to an elder. You know, we have ceremonies and traditional healing rituals that help us take care of our grief and our loss and our hearts and our souls, right? Mm-hmm. These are also important things to do. And NAC has a traditional healing program. We offer access to a number of ceremonies in the community fairly often. And you can also talk to elders and residents here. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's huge. And we got like a minute left. And in honor of Wendy being here in studio today, I just wanted to say, she always says, ask Dr. Stately what he wants to talk about. So the floor is yours the last minute and a half here, Dr. Stately. And you can talk about
hockey. I'm always happy to talk about health because I think it's like mm-hmm. a big part of what orbits my world. But you know, I'm getting ready. I don't know how many people are getting ready for school. School's like, you know, I get anxious like this time of year. Like if my kids asked me the other day, like, when's school going to start? And I looked at the calendar. I'm like, oh my God, it starts in 4 weeks. And they're like, like, oh, we got to do this. We got to do this. We got to go shopping, new clothes, new shoes, you know, all the stuff that you got to do. And I'm like, I got to schedule your dental appointment. I got to do this. I got to like all stuff that I can't accomplish when they're in school because they're just too busy and hockey right. season takes off. So I just encourage people, like NAC has a kids day event coming up on the 18th. It'll be held in partnership with a lot of folks at Little Earth Residents Association, giving out free backpacks and school supplies and a bunch of other things on activities. But we're also going to, you know, sign you up for well child checks and help you get, you know, your kids ready for school. So please come.
Hey, Dr. Stately, thank you, and thank you for Native American Community Clinic that does so much for our people and you especially. Thanks for stopping in. Right on. Hey, up next, Wendy, we're going to be talking our sacred animal section here live.
Stay with us.
We'll be right back.
Life after military service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, feeling lost and uncertain about the future. These feelings don't take away from a veteran's strength, courage, or sense of duty. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
Metro Transit is proud to offer the free use of IRA for transit trips, an app that connects blind and low vision customers to a live agent for navigation assistance. IRA can help you determine your location, read schedules, find your next transfer, navigate stations and platforms, and general trip planning, and is now available in Spanish. Learn more and download the app at AIRA.io. That's AIRA.io.
In this critical time for Indian country, voting is crucial to protecting the land, water, and communities. Voting creates collective power in securing our planet's future amid climate chaos. Engage in personal conversations with loved ones to ensure they are making informed voting choices. Register to vote. And don't forget that 16 and 17-year-olds can pre-register to vote in Minnesota. NACD is asking us to stand together and make voting a tradition. Go to NACD.org to learn more and make your pledge to vote.
Hey, this is Robert Pilot. I taught in St. Paul Public Schools for over 25 years, and I want you to join the team and make a difference in our children's future. Right now, St. Paul Public Schools is offering hiring and retention bonuses up to $10,000 for a variety of teaching and classroom support positions for the next school year. Grow in a supportive and fulfilling public school setting. Limited bonuses are available, so don't delay. Apply at spps.org/careers.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! We brought Dr. Stately back on to howl. Thank you, Dr. Stately.
Thank you.
Be well, man. Take care.
We'll see you. That's awesome. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome, beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she talks about our sacred animals here on Native Roots Radio for the past 7 years. And Wendy, thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for being live.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. And today I'm going to be talking about a bird that flocked to Green Bay to catch a glimpse. So these birders are all over, and they're coming to Green Bay, Wisconsin to catch a glimpse of Gulf Coast shorebird, last seen in Wisconsin in 1845.
Wow.
Yeah. So this bird was last seen in the state of Wisconsin almost 180 years ago. Logan Lassise, a member of the Bay Area Bird Club, spotted a Rosetta spoonbill in the Ken Ehrs Nature Area in Green Bay on July 26th, the Wisconsin Public Radio reported. More than 450 people have visited the nature area as of Tuesday. James Anderson, Deputy Director of the City of Green Bay Parks and Recreation and Forestry Department, which runs the nature area, told the Associated Press that the bird was last spotted Wednesday evening. He said usually only about a dozen people use the nature area at a time, but that 60 to 70 people were in the area looking for the bird at the time. About 40 people were in the nature area when Anderson visited Thursday morning, he said. The parking lot was full, he said. It's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, Candy Evans told Wisconsin Public Radio that she and her husband left their home in Door County at 6:30 a.m. to travel to the nature area. It is so interesting because it is just such a distinctive silhouette, Evans said.
Now, what
it's
is it?
It's just
what is,
a gorgeous bird.
What's the name of the bird again?
It's called
Roberta Spoonbird?
No, it's called a. I'm going to lose my spot here,
sorry.
But that's okay. I'm going to find it. It's a Rosetta, R O S E A T E, Rosetta Spoonbill. Yeah. So, this woman, there are pictures of it on the internet, and the bird, here it is. This is what the people, Evans, who left Door County traveled. The bird is pink and resembles a football on short stilts. Six types of spoonbills are found around the world, but only the Rosetta, R-O-S-E-A-T-E, is present in North America. It's usually found in the Gulf Coast states and Central and South America. The last time the Rosetta spoonbill was seen in Wisconsin was in 1845, and that bird was dead. It's unclear how this bird reached Green Bay. Birders and scientists theorize it may have simply gotten lost or blown off course by a storm. Climate change and mm-hmm. loss of habitat also are forcing birds north. You said that, Robert. We talked about that.
Look at
that.
The picture of them.
Yeah, it's kind of like a flamingo with shorter legs and a flat beak. Yeah, it's a very pretty bird. Tom Presby, Wisconsin conservation manager at Audubon Great Lakes, which works to protect birds across the region, told Wisconsin Public Radio that the bird headed to Eskenba, Michigan after landing in Green Bay on July 26, but it returned to Green Bay on Saturday. He said he believes the bird may spend several weeks in Green Bay before traveling around the Midwest and eventually returning to the Gulf Coast. David Drake, a wildlife ecology professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, said the bird's foray into Michigan suggests it's exploring. Yeah, his advice for birders hoping to see the Rosetta Spoonbill is not to look for the bird, but to look for the hordes of people carrying cameras and spotting scopes. Yeah, so that's pretty interesting. I've been hearing a lot about that lately, like birds and other animals, you know, going where they're not supposed to go or show up somewhere where they haven't been in a really long time. But
that's a cool looking bird.
It is a cool looking bird. And there's an otter in Santa Cruz, and it's hassling surfers and stealing their boards. I should just say that was from WCCO News
here in Minnesota.
In Minnesota, reporting on that, yeah, and cool. And part also Wisconsin News, yeah. Cool. This is from NPR. I know how you love that.
Oh, but Dr. Stately's favorite channel.
This is from July 13th, 2023, by Dustin Jones, and there's an aggressive sea otter in California, and it's hassling locals and riding boards she stole from surfers in the lineup. Yeah, Streamer Lane is a legendary point break nestled along the rocky shores of Santa Cruz, home to swaths of experienced surfers, as well as a five-year-old female otter with a growing reputation for repeatedly confronting surfers and kayakers.
Oh,
yeah, videos across social media show the otter hoisting itself out of the ocean and onto boards while surfers sit back in awe. Yeah, at times she's chewed on the boards or forced surfers to surrender their boards altogether. Yeah, onlookers in the videos can be heard laughing in jest at surfers' misfortune, but officials with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service say the otter poses a public safety risk. While there have been no confirmed reports of injury due to the highly unusual behavior of this otter, kayakers, surfers, and others recreating in the area should not approach the otter or encourage the otter's interactions, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife said in a statement. Yeah, 60-year-old Santa Cruz native and photographer Mark Woodward said he has photographed hundreds of otters over the years, but has never seen something like this. He's witnessed the otter bully surfers three times in less than a week. Quote, I saw the first incident on June 18th, and I didn't know what was happening, Woodward told NPR. It was quite astounding. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service said the otter's behavior is concerning and unusual. And though the exact cause is unknown, officials said it could be associated with hormonal changes or being fed by humans.
Mm.
Yeah. So the honestly, that is probably something that I would, you know, want to see. Like, could you imagine being on your surfboard, like sitting there waiting for a wave, and an otter like jumps on the board and like forces you off your surfboard?
Wow.
And then you have to give it up to an otter.
I think the animals are fighting back, Wendy, because
they
had whales knocking over boats, and now the otters are...
There was one whale that got hit by a boat's engine and got really angry, and then taught the other orcas, the whales, to, you know, hassle the boats. Yeah.
Wow. Hey, thanks a lot, Wendy. Great segment. I could picture that all in my little brain here. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. We're still here.
Get ready, country fans, because Tyler Farr is coming to heat up the summer on August 11th at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nacoosa.
with hit singles such as Redneck Crazy, Whiskey in My Water, and his brand new single, Rednecks Like Me. Tickets will be on sale June 30th by calling Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa or by visiting the Rewards Club booth. Then, because fun has no age limit, we'll be opening our concert up to everyone. Enjoy a perfect summer night with food trucks and music, and mark your calendars for fun this summer with Tyler Farr at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa.
Get ready, country fans, because Tyler Farr is coming to heat up the summer on August 11th at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. With hit singles such as Redneck Crazy, Whiskey in My Water, and his brand new single, Rednecks Like Me. Tickets will be on sale June 30th by calling Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa or by visiting the Rewards Club booth. Then, because fun has no age limit, we'll be opening our concert up to everyone. Enjoy a perfect summer night with food trucks and music, and mark your calendars for fun this summer with Tyler Farr at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa.
ABC News, I'm Mark.